Off Air, the podcast with Jane Garvey and Fee Glover.
I go to the sink and I have some cheese.
You eat cheese in the sink?
Doesn't everybody?
Every Monday to Thursday, Jane and Fee keep the microphones on after their Times radio show.
I think if we were to do a Mr. and Mrs.
Oh,
no, how would that go in the booth?
Badly. It would go very badly.
Unencumbered and off air.
Two tiny women with gobs.
Off Air, the podcast. Now available on the Times radio app.
Welcome to The World in 10, the Times of London's unique take on world events every day. I'm Alex Dibble, and she is Sonal Patel.
I am, and I'm excited because we're going to be hearing from our reporter at the High Court where Prince Harry's given evidence today.
We're also talking about a big moment in the Ukraine war, and The Times has collated its favourite quotes from football legend Zlatan Ibrahimovic, and we're going to have some fun looking through them.
So, Prince Harry has a somewhat dubious honour, I guess, of becoming the first senior royal in 130 years to give evidence in court. So that's him arriving. The Times has a video online and it's extraordinary. A massive bank of reporters and photographers.
Yeah, so he has been at the High Court today because he's taking action against Mirror Group newspapers, who he claims hacked his phone and published stories as a result of the information that it gathered, which, among other things, ruined his relationship with his girlfriend at the time, Chelsea Davy. Now, Times Radio's Oliver Whitfield Miocic has been at the High Court all day, and it's not been your average court appearance. Ollie, what's it been like to be down there, I guess, from a journalist's perspective more than anything?
It's one of those stories where you've got the world's media all in front of you. So where I'm currently standing, you know, I can see more than 40 cameras. Then you've got all of the press photographers who are here. So you know that it's sort of a huge story whenever you cover one of these things. Inside court, you've got a mixture of the public who are trying to get in and the press. It's sort of like the hottest ticket in town at the moment. And yeah, I mean, there's one woman who has come along with her copy of Prince Harry's book Spare, and she's trying to get the Duke to sign it and to date it so that it'll be worth money in the future, because she thinks because of the date it's going to be worth a lot of money. We've had a sort of a protester, a satirical artist came down earlier on with an unflattering picture of Harry and Meghan, and then of course you've got all of the legal stuff that's going on. So it is fascinating to be here.
And Ollie, it's Sonal here from the pod too. What bit of evidence really made your ears prick up?
It's really difficult because there are 33 stories that are being investigated and they're going through them one by one. So there's all sorts of revelations that come out from that, plus all the revelations that are in the witness statement. But there's one key bit in the witness statement which sort of really drew my breath, and that is where Prince Harry hits out at the British government and at the British press and says they're both basically at rock bottom, while at the same time calling for press regulation. And for me, that's a separate argument. At the moment, he should be focusing on trying to prove this widespread hacking, unlawful information gathering that's taking place by the Mirror. And I just wonder whether there's going to be more headlines written about the side story than what there is about the actual court case.
To Ukraine and a significant moment in the conflict. So what you can hear there is water gushing down river, a massive hole blown through the centre of the Kakhovka Dam. Now, there's been talk for months that Russia would blow it to try and stop Ukraine carrying out its offensive. So not entirely unpredicted.
No, Russia has blamed Ukraine for the attack on the dam, calling it a terrorist attack. But within hours of it happening, we were hearing from Yuri Sak, who is an advisor to Ukraine's Minister of Defence. He says it was Russia and that it was a desperate move.
We are Ukrainians. We are fighting for our land. We are trying to liberate our land from this scum. We are not In on a mission to destroy our villages, to ruin the lives of our people. This is ridiculous Russian propaganda, disinformation campaigns. And look, we understand why they're doing it. Russians are panicking. They are demoralized, they're degraded. They can sense that they are losing this aggressive and unprovoked war.
The dam was an important element for Ukraine's counteroffensive. Mm. It allowed them access to the south of the country. As the Times senior foreign correspondent Catherine Philp, who's in the country at the moment, says, while the dam busting is a blow, it's not a knockout one for Ukraine.
We're seeing manoeuvres along the front line that look like what you would expect at this moment in you know, the initial stages, where Ukrainian forces seem to be probing the Russian lines to see where the vulnerabilities are, to assess where that they might then put into action some of these Western trained and equipped brigades that they've primed ready to lead the assault. So these are brigades that have not been worn out on the battlefield up until this point. They are being held in reserve. We haven't seen much evidence of them being put into action, which suggests that they are still, you know, working out where exactly they're going to send these troops and that and those munitions. And that would be, I think we will know very clearly when that begins in earnest, because it will be a complex combined arms assault.
There is another element to all this, which is the environmental impact of this disaster, really. The villages and the farmland that's been flooded. Also, hundreds of tons of engine oil has spilled into the Dnipro River. The EU says the destruction of the dam is a war crime. There has been news today that has blindsided everyone, it seems, in the world. The biggest split in sport is over.
Yeah, it happened this afternoon, UK time. An email popped up, said massive golf story. So golf's PGA Tour, DP World Tour, which is the European Tour, and Saudi-backed LIV Golf have announced they're all merging.
It's absolutely incredible. The Times is covering all the fallout of this, all the implications, what it means, everything to do with it. Here is the Times chief sports reporter, Martin Ziegler.
Well, the PGA Tour had said before that there was no chance of a merger. It seems to me that, you know, money talks, as it so often does in sport, talk of $2 billion. And the alternative was a very costly, damaging civil war within the sport, which was a problem definitely for the PGA Tour. You know, we had a LIV golfer winning the most recent major, and the, you know, the threat of what's going to happen with the Ryder Cup. So I think they probably thought, well, you know, the best outcome is a get all the players back together again, and get huge amounts more money for the sport.
And we've got to say, this news was so unexpected and remarkable that no journalist even had a whiff of it, that Colin Morikawa, who is a major winner himself, PGA Tour player, puts on social media, "I love finding out morning news on Twitter." I mean, nobody knew. Phil Mickelson, one of the biggest names in the sport, has tweeted, "Awesome day today," with a big smiley face. He has been a poster boy for LIV Golf. One more sports story we liked is that the Times has collated all the great quotes from Zlatan Ibrahimovic after his retirement yesterday. The football legend, of course, who, it must be remembered, when he signed for LA Galaxy, took out a full-page ad saying, "Dear Los Angeles, you're welcome." My favourite is, "I can't help but laugh at how perfect I am."
Yeah. That's great. Safe to say he didn't really gel with Pep Guardiola.
No.
Fair? Now Man City manager. My favourite quote, though, is, and it's a long one, wait for this. "When you buy me, you are buying a Ferrari." I don't know why I put on that accent, but I think
good
it's
Swedish.
Kind of noble. "If you drive a Ferrari, you put premium petrol in the tank. You hit the motorway. You step on the gas." Guardiola filled up with diesel and took a spin in the countryside. He should have bought a Fiat. I'm at mine and Alex's spiritual home, the Times Foreign Desk, with a man in charge, Mike Smith. Mike, what have you got coming up online?
We've got extraordinary video footage showing that sharks are perhaps not as dangerous as people thought. Off the coast of California, they appear to come extremely close to swimmers and surfers without ever menacing them. Scientists hope this will rehabilitate the image of sharks in the popular imagination.
We are done. Remember, a Times digital subscription gives you full access to all these stories and indeed a whole lot more on the Times app.
And The World in 10 is back tomorrow. We'll see you then.
Rising sea levels, extreme weather patterns, extinctions of species. Our planet needs protecting. I'm Adam Vaughan, the environment editor for The Times, and this is Planet Hope from The Times, in partnership with Rolex and its Perpetual Planet Initiative. In this podcast, we hear from leading experts from around the world who are committed to finding solutions. These explorers, scientists, entrepreneurs, and citizens are committed to a common goal: to protect our home, Earth. Listen now wherever you get your podcasts.